Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to our latest Outsports podcast. It is the smack dab in the middle of December. We've got Christmas up ahead, but frankly, this week is my Christmas, because any time a Star Wars movie is coming out on a Friday, I'll take that over Christmas any day. Jim, I know you're super excited for Rogue One. You're counting down the days. Do you even know that there's a Star Wars movie coming out on Friday?
I know there's a Star Wars movie. I have no idea what the plot is or why it's significant for Star Wars people. So you could enlighten me at some point.
I'll skip that. I know Jim's only seen one Star Wars movie. It was The Phantom Menace, and he swore it off after that, which I don't blame him for.
Where are you watching it? Is it the Chinese?
The Cinerama Dome. The Cinerama Dome. In the big dome. I'll have the 3D glasses on. I can't wait. I'm going at noon so I can have, like, the perfect seat right in front of the screen right there in the middle. I can't wait. I'm excited.
You have to reserve seats?
So welcome. Of course. Yes, of course. Well, first of all, welcome home. Jim was in Denver for the last week. I'm so glad you picked a slow news week to go on your vacation.
It is kind of funny. It's like, I'll go in early December. It's kind of dead then. And then Sid's like working his fingers off. So I appreciate that. But it was nice to get away. Denver's a great city.
Well, it's fine. I mean, there are a few times during the course of the year, February, July, December. Those are the 3 months that you and I are like, yeah, if you're going to take a vacation, it's a good time to do it. It's generally a slow. And I don't know. It was like the perfect storm. Stuff just cut. Happening over the last few days, there was so much going on, which is a lot of fun. And I think, you know, my favorite story was the one that you, Jeremy Brenner, our teenage NFL writer, wrote, and then you texted to me the gay couple who got engaged at a Chicago Bulls game, and it was really the feel good story, sports story of the week. These two guys who really had no connection to the Bulls. Somehow making this possible, getting engaged on the court during the second quarter of a game with the teams all there, the 21,000 fans watching, the cheerleaders dancing, and the mascot involved. And I just thought that was – I watched it several times and showed it to Dan, and we both teared up every time we watched it. It was so – the video was so cute.
Well, it was also just very spontaneous. It's not like this was planned for months in advance. It came together very quickly, and I think the fans had no idea what was going on, so it was just a really organic moment, and we posted the video on Facebook, and it's, I don't know, they give you audience engagement or how many people saw the thing. It was something like 4.5 million people saw the thing, which is an astonishing number for us, and it just shows the power of, I mean, it really was a feel-good story. There was no negativity about it. There was nothing strange about it. It was, you know, I think people are feeling 2016 was a lousy year for a lot of different reasons, but this is a great little kind of just great feel-good story. And again, it shows the power of having legalized marriage. And these guys couldn't have done this a few years ago. And it was great the way it was organized, and the Bulls were so cooperative. And that's really a sign of the times. We used to get how many stories we'd write about kiss cams where they would mockingly show two men together, right, as a way to get them to laugh at each, you know, everyone to laugh at them, not with them. And now we're having things where teams are participating in, you know, in same-sex marriage proposals. So it was fantastic.
Well, you hit on one of the really neat things is that when I posted it on Facebook, and yet has 5 million people have now seen that Facebook post and that video, somebody immediately on and said, oh, well, I wish I had the connections to make this happen. They had no connections. The Jake Conrad, the guy who wanted to propose to his boyfriend, he bought courtside seats because his boyfriend was a big lifelong Bulls fan, had never been to a Bulls game. And so he bought courtside seats to surprise him for his special first game. And he just over the last 2 months went about trying to get a hold of the Bulls. And last Monday or Tuesday, the game was Thursday, Monday or Tuesday, he realized, I still have not heard back from these people. And just started calling and calling and emailing and finally got a call back. And the Bulls were like, yeah, we'll let you into the arena a couple hours before the game. You guys can walk onto the court. You can do your thing. And then, we'll need you to leave. And he's like, oh, my God, that's amazing. It's more than I could have ever asked for. And an hour later, the executive calls back and says, our higher-ups have heard of your story, and we want to make it a little more special. So, got the cheerleaders involved, did it during the game. I mean, it really was such a neat thing. I wonder if these executives thought, this is a really good opportunity for us to show what an inclusive team we are. I mean, somebody must have said that along the way and decided, yep, let's do it.
Yeah, and there is a sports connection, right? One of the guys, is he a volleyball coach? Or I forget what his...
Yeah. One's about... Jake is a college volleyball coach. And he coaches youth as well, and Michael is a basketball player. So they one of the reasons they're together is because of their love of sports. It's one of the reasons they connected very early on in their relationship was their mutual love of sports. So
we need more feel good stories like that these days.
Well, yes, and another story that kind of really popped up over the last week is a friend of ours and an athlete who came out on OutSports a couple months ago, back in September, Voit Demeester. He plays for the Penn State, Jim's alma mater, the Penn State club ice hockey team, and he texted both of us over the weekend just saying, I got called a faggot during a game. Voit's going to hopefully be joining us a little bit later to talk about it. But, it was kind of, it's just kind of shocking to me still that this is still going on, that with all the conversations about gay athletes and all this, I mean, and big, strong gay athletes like Michael Sam and Acero Tuolo and Jason Collins, we still get this. We still get athletes trying to demean each other, by using this gay slur. And I guess no matter how, I just wonder if that is ever going to end, Jim. I mean, really, at this point, is the use of this word ever going to end? Is the subconscious thought that gays are weak ever going to leave us?
I think at some point, yeah. I mean, language evolves, and I think as more and more athletes come out, we're going to find out. I mean, in this case, the wrinkle here is the player who said the word faggot apparently didn't know Voit was gay. And yeah. I'm not sure if I believe that or not, but if that's the case, it shows they still consider this to be the epithet of choice, to sort of demean an opponent. But I do think that we hear that it does not happen at the pro level, or if it happens, nobody ever says anything about it. But I do think I think as more and more people come out, I do think it will be less, and it actually has been less in terms of us writing about it. You remember social media used to be awash with that kind of stuff, stupid comments from athletes. Now at least they don't say it publicly, even if they think it. So, I mean, I think this stuff is not as prevalent as it used to be, but it still is too prevalent to be something that we can overlook.
Well, I got into a Twitter argument last Friday, I think it was, with somebody, because I just don't believe that people using this word means I hate gay people. The athlete calling Voit a faggot, he was not telling Voit, I hate gay people. He was using a word that means in his head, after living in the heterosexist world that we live in, it means weak and less than, and what his use of the word doesn't mean to me is I hate gay people, or if I have a gay teammate, I'm going to reject him. Do you think that word means those things if used in sports?
I think the word is in some ways is the catch-all epithet to imply weakness, less than, almost feminizing a male athlete, more so than I specifically hate gay people, because probably people think, oh, it's just a word you use to kind of get in, under somebody's skin, versus I want to actively work against the rights of LGBT people. I think a lot of times you'll hear, oh, I have gay relatives or gay friends. I'm not homophobic. And so I think it's the word that has been drummed into people, at least in male athletes' heads, that this is the word you use to get at somebody. So I don't think it necessarily means someone is themselves personally homophobic. And I think in some cases it could be someone trying to pass who themselves is having issues with their own sexuality. I mean, I heard from a high school football player in North Carolina I communicate with who said he got in an argument, and he's out now. He's out, you know, within the school, an argument with a classmate who called him a faggot, and why do you have to throw your gayness and, you know, all this stuff, and back and forth in text. It seems that people think that the kid saying that stuff was himself maybe trying to cover up for something, you know, that he himself is gay. And so I do think, I wonder if some of the people who say this are saying it to say, well, okay, I use the word faggot, so you can't, you know, pin that label on me because I'm the one throwing it out first. But no, I don't think it necessarily means someone is homophobic.
And I think the root of the word is the root of the word is homophobic. The root of the word is gay men are weak or less than. But I don't think ascribing that homophobia to the person saying the word is tough, because it's just a really academic look at the word. I think it's a very real look at the word. But again, I don't think the person means I hate gay people. I don't think that's the way that Voight took that word. I know Voight is joining us now from his car, driving back to campus to meet a very special guest. Voight has a fun interview coming up ahead today, Jim. I guess well, Voight, can you talk about who you're talking to later today, or is it top secret?
No, I can share that. I mean, I got contacted the other day by Davey Wavy, official Davey Wavy on Instagram, and he asked me if he could interview me on what happened this past Saturday during the hockey game, and kind of just my whole coming out story and everything around that.
So you have to get shirtless for the interview?
We haven't talked about that yet, but possibly.
Yes is the answer to that question. When you hear this word, do you take it as I hate you, or do you? I mean, how, like, when you heard it, how do you feel about that word when you hear it?
You know, I think when I first heard it, so when I first came out, I took a lot of offense to it, just because, you know, I was like new to everything and didn't really know how to handle it, and so I kind of took it like to pretty offensive. But you know, now kind of being out there longer and having more and more people kind of acclimate me to the community, the Saturday when he said it, you know, at first it didn't really bother me because I have pretty thick skin now, but you know, the more he came up in my face and was saying it, it was more of disappointment than it was that it hurt me.
Now, he's, from what we've been reporting, he alleges he did not know you were gay, and yet why would he, do you believe that? It seemed like he was singling you out, unless he was going up to other teammates and using the same term.
You know, from what I saw during the game, he wasn't really going up to anyone else and saying it. But I felt like he kept coming up to me specifically and saying it. Now, him knowing I was gay or not, you know, that's really beside the point when you're kind of singling someone out, because, you know, there's not really any context that that word needs to be used in any sort of sporting event.
Oh, no, that I agree with, but I'm curious, though, why you, and I'm wondering if he knew you were, in fact, gay, which actually would make it in, hate to say it, I'm in some ways worse that he would say it, you know, because normally what happens is people say, oh my God, I had no idea, and they apologize. But in this case, had this player, was there something that gone on during the game with this guy? Was there, you guys have some rough checks with each other, or what was the deal?
Well, you know, typically these games where we play a branch campus, they get pretty heated because, you know, they want to show that they're better than us. So they're going to come out and try to do everything in their power – to win the game. So when we kind of have control of the game for the most part, it kind of takes away their fire. But then when we let them back in, that kind of gave them some stepping ground to come in and kind of give them that backbone to kind of say or do anything. Now, why he chose that word specifically, I can't tell you that, but those games are always really heated, no matter who it's against.
So what I love about this is how you handled it, and how you handled it in game, and then, so kind of talk about that, and then why you chose to write to us and let us know that this happened.
Well, you know, in the moment, when it happened, I was kind of, yes, filled with emotions, but at the same time, I wanted to have a clear head about things because, you know, when something like that happens, there's no point in coming back with emotions because then it just gets to a point that it doesn't need to get to. So I wanted to take the time to think about what had happened, process it, and, from when I did my article of my coming out story, I wanted to come to you guys for advice because you have kind of more experience in this whole area of, athletics. And so I thought the best person to talk to would be you, Sid, and Jim. So that's why I came to you guys.
So during the game, did your teammates hear this? Were there, and afterwards, did your team talk about this at all? Did people individually come up to you? And if so, what were they saying?
No, actually, I was asking a lot of my teammates if they had heard anything on the ice, and they didn't. And that's because when you're on the ice, there's a lot going on, and so. For a lot of people, they're not really paying attention to what's going on behind the play. So the puck's at one end of the ice and something else is happening behind it, so behind everything. And so a lot of people miss that is where he did it when he was skating off to the bench. And so I haven't talked to everyone on my team, but for the most part, it seems like a lot of people missed it, which is why I went to the refs and said, hey, this is the second time that this kid has said this. Is there anything you can do about it? And to which he talked to their captain, and it seemed to kind of been taken care of after that.
Well, let me follow up on that because that's an interesting point that I get in my head now. You're out publicly now. Did that fact make it more likely that you would go up to the ref and challenge it? Or do you think had you still been closeted, you would have been less likely to do that or not?
I think if I was closeted, I'd probably be more likely to, maybe do something not in the most clear-minded state.
Uh-huh.
Like, I may have done something that wouldn't have been good for our team, like gotten into a fight or something like that, kind of defending. But just being out now and kind of wanting to be the bigger person, because, like I said in the article, no matter where you go, people don't know that I play for the club hockey team. They see that Penn State logo, so they automatically assume that, oh, he plays for the D1 team. So you have to uphold that standard wherever you go. So for me to kind of come back at him would be doing the opposite of that. And so that's why I think I went to the ref for him to handle it rather than me doing it on my own. And doing something I were to regret.
And so since then and just to be clear, so nobody thinks that making this up, nobody on the opposing team is denying this happened. The captain hasn't denied it. The coach hasn't denied it. They've all accepted responsibility. So even though Voight was the only one that heard it, this is not in dispute that this happened. Are you
yeah.
happy with how your school and the other school have handled this since, I made the phone call on Monday, and unfortunately the coach had not yet reported the incident to the school, which I'm sure he'll get a talking to about. Are you happy with how this is moving forward?
Yeah, I am. Yeah, I'm very happy. At least with club sports here at on main campus, there are multiple administrators that are in the LGBT community, and so they take those things very seriously. Now, that being said, I'm not sure who all is in the Altoona athletic department, but I know that they took it very seriously too. And so I am very happy at how it was taken care of. And my coach, he relayed to me that they would like me to come and kind of do possibly a talk with them, the Altoona Club Sports, and try to make things better. I guess better is not really a great term, but kind of open them up to education.
So, which actually is in a weird sense, this could all be turned into a positive, because they'll see in front of them a hockey player who's openly gay, who is a very good hockey player, and you would hope it would change some of their minds about using words like that.
Exactly, yeah.
So what was the reaction what's been the reaction since this clinic became public? Have you heard from other people about it, or what's been the general tone?
Well, I've gotten a lot of messages and texts and calls from, you know, teammates and people I have never even met, and it's all really positive, and they are really happy that, you know, I stood up for the community, because it does take, you know, each individual person doing their part to kind of make the world a better place and more accepting. Because, you know, if you let this one person do it, well, then that's just opening the door to let kind of everyone doing it. So stopping one person from saying it really kind of helps the entire community. So I've gotten a lot of positive support from it.
Well, that's great, and that's the beauty of being out, is that you know, you have the courage and the support structure with other athletes and people you know to stand up for yourself, and you end up standing up for everybody else too. So, boy, I really appreciate you doing what you did.
Well, wait, I have one more question for Voight. Voight, you coming out to the Rose Bowl?
I would love to, but, you know, that is a pretty penny to fly out there and the hotel. So I'm probably going to be watching it from home or with my team somewhere on TV. So.
Yeah, I'm not even sure I'm going. $350 a ticket is a little bit steep to watch Penn State, even for me.
Yeah.
To watch them lose, yeah, it's awful. Okay, well, that's all the time.
At least they're there and Stanford's not in, Sid. I haven't seen them lately in the Rose Bowl. Oh, last year, that's right. Never mind.
Wait, yeah, exactly. Yeah. If Stanford was in, then Penn State would definitely win. All right, boy. Well, thanks for joining us, and give Davey Wavy a nice, good, solid hug for us, okay?
Oh, I will. Thank you very much.
All right, thanks.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Look at that, Jim. Our stories even reach Davey Wavy, the YouTube shirtless wonder. we're reaching everybody at this point. Well, and again, my point at the end was, this is the power of being out, you know. And if Voight wasn't out, if he wasn't gay, and if he wasn't out, and he said, oh, so and so said this word to me, you know, my guess is it would have been, you know, okay, all right, we'll address this, we'll make sure it doesn't happen again. But, you know, me calling that school, and what's funny is, you know, I call the school, I get the SID, and he's like, oh, I don't handle these issues. For our school, you know, here's somebody else who does. And I say, okay, well, just so you know, this was a gay slur aimed at a gay athlete. And 5 minutes later, I got a phone call back, and the guy, the SID, says, I just talked to our athletic director. I will be handling this one for you. And our athletic director wants to have a statement. Da, 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 da. So, like, I think because Voight was gay, they took this a lot more seriously than they would have otherwise.
Well, and I do think that the point he said, that if he had been closeted, he may have simply gotten a fight with the guy, you know, you would, because otherwise you would might have been acknowledging something, you know, I think the fear comes in that, oh my God, maybe people will discover me if I make this an issue, so I'll settle it the old-fashioned way by, you know, duking it out with the guy, which would have been bad. But in this case, by being out, there's a liberation feeling there that, you know, in a sense, yeah, the Voight's gay. So how can that word, in a sense, hurt him? He can turn it around and sort of use it to make a big difference.
Yeah, and he is. So that's great. And so, again, you know, if everybody's out there and they hear this language during a game, you know, contact us. We can help you make sure that people pay attention to this. And, you know, there's a big difference from between an athlete saying something to his coach and Jim or me calling the athletic department and talking about reporting on the issue. Suddenly things start moving when a journalist calls and says, I'm writing a story.
Yeah, that had those magic words. I'm writing something on this really have a way of getting people's attention.
In the last couple of minutes, I just wanted to talk about our year-end awards. Every year we kind of hand out a few awards to acknowledge people who have contributed to outsports or contributed to the LGBT culture in sports. And we've named our male and female athletes of the year so far, Jim. The male athlete being boxer Orlando Cruz and the female athlete being boxer Nicola Adams from Great Britain. And what I love is that both of our athletes of the year are boxers, which you would think would be the last place you would find an openly gay athlete. You know, literally, your opponent's goal is to pummel you until you are unconscious. Yet these two incredibly brave athletes are out there not just being totally out, Orlando wearing rainbow flags on his boxing shorts, but they are both incredibly successful. Orlando had a world championship shot last month. He missed out on winning it, but he has a North American championship, and then Nicola Adams won back-to-back gold medals. I think it's neat that it's two boxers who are athletes of the year.
Well, and I think in Orlando's case, which was really I really liked, was his opponent who defeated him never made his sexual orientation an issue. As a matter of fact, he went out of his way to say it's not an issue. You know, that good for him. He's proud of him. I think he has a gay sister. And so this wasn't some motivational tactic to beat the gay guy. It was simply, hey, I applaud him for that. And so they fought just as a regular fight. And that's the kind of stuff that, to me, is empowering. When the issue itself, it was only an issue in that Orlando could have been the first openly gay world boxing champion, and he was very open about wanting to do that. But it wasn't like it's the gay guy against the straight guy. And in Nicola's case, this is her second consecutive gold medal, and she's been out for, I think, right, prior to even 2012. She's been out prior to 2011 in Britain and is well celebrated over there. So, yeah, I think it's actually kind of cool that these sports that kind of turn you on your head, like boxing, are the two people that we named our male and female athletes of the year.
And what I also love is that they're both people of color, and we get a lot of hell at Outsports for not writing about people of color. We try to write about people of color. It's just sometimes hard to find, but I love that it's a black woman and a Puerto Rican man who are our athletes of the year, and both, I mean, incredibly well-deserved. There are so many other people. You know, Eric Radford won another world championship, and there's so many other people who've done amazing things just on the court over the last year. But we just, you know, we thought these two. Coming up, we have the male and female hero of the year. The asshole of the year is coming on Friday, which is one of my favorite awards of the year. I don't think people will be surprised by who we pick for that one, Jim.
No.
So I think there are actually two who really jump out at me, who we could name either of them. But for Jim and me, if you've been following Outsports over the last 4 months, it won't be any big surprise who we picked for that one. But that's all the time we have this week. We will be back at you next week, I guess. That'll be our
yep,
pre-Christmas episode. And then we can talk about all of our awards, and who knows what other headlines will come about. I'm Jim. Just pray that Jimmy Graham gets 120 yards and 2 touchdowns, and I need it for my fantasy football league.
Oh, that's right, tonight. Good luck.
Thank you.